Right, we're turning to Luke chapter 1. And tonight our interest is in not Mary, not Joseph. It is in the Lord, of course, but there's another character in this chapter we read of that we're interested in, and that is Gabriel the angel. Now, I was really touched by the question of the young woman that the doctor helped at the gas station. This story is in the back of our bulletin. And this doctor, his car broke down and he coasted into the gas station. He ended up helping a young mother who was really at her wit's end with nothing. And he set her up, set her on her way. And her question was, "Are you an angel or something?" And he said, "Sweetie, at this time of year, angels are so busy that God often uses regular people." Well, when you search the Bible, you find that angels are always busy. They're never idle. They are completely active in the ministry of serving the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that they're certainly busy at this time of year, when the birth of our Lord Jesus took place. We're told that they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are the heirs of salvation. There is a wonderful story about angels from the mission field with John Patton in the New Hebrides. This goes away back about 100 years. John Patton and his wife were in their missionary station home amongst a people that were not particularly well civilized. And one evening, the tribespeople gathered around in their madness to burn them out. And the missionary, Mr. Patton, who was Scottish, by the way, he and his wife got down and prayed. And they prayed until the morning. And when the morning light came, there wasn't a sign of anyone that would danger them in any way. About a year went by until the chief of that tribe was marvelously converted. And Mr. Patton, he took the opportunity to ask the chief, "Do you remember the night that my home was surrounded and there were blood-curdling threats to burn us out? And then suddenly, all was peaceful. Can you tell me what happened on that night?" And the chief asked, "Who were those big men dressed in white with swords?" Mr. Patton knew nothing at all about them and concluded that God, in his grace, sent angels to guard the place and to protect his missionary, to ward off these uncivilized attackers, and God used angels on that night. Now, the Bible gives us some insight about the work of angels, though their work is mostly secretive, unseen by human eye, for they are invisible and they do not have physical bodies. Now, what the Bible tells us, I want to summarize a little and then come to this Gabriel. We're told that they are creatures of God's creation. We are told that they are in the multitudes. They are described as the heavenly hosts. We know that angels, being created, they are not male nor female. They do not procreate. There is no such thing as a baby angel. Now, you may have seen some artist's impressions of a cherub, supposedly an angel, and it comes somewhere between a little chubby baby and some kind of creature with wings. Well, angels have no physical bodies, and thereby they are not bound by time nor space. They just appear. And in these gospel accounts, we find that there were angels who just appeared to Joseph. You remember how he was considering what he was going to do to break that betrothal and put away Mary privily. And the angel of the Lord appeared and had a message for Joseph. Then also Zacharias, he was right inside the temple. He was carrying out his priestly duty of offering incense in the inner court. And there appeared an angel unto him. And then to Mary, this Gabriel appears and announces to her the very miracle of the birth that is to take place in her womb. Another thing about angels is that they travel very fast. We can hardly fathom this. It would be like explaining to someone away back in the days of Noah's Ark, of people of that era, what it's like to go on the internet and send messages around the world. It would be very difficult for Noah and his family to take it in, that you could talk to someone at the other end of the world just as if they were right before you. Yesterday, my wife and I talked to Beulah's family in Ireland, 5,000 miles away. We could see each other on video. And it was a marvel of modern-day technology. And to think that data, as the computer geeks would say, that data transfers through optic cables at the speed of light, conveying messages back and forth. Well, angels, they travel at super speeds. And you could have an angel that has breakfast in Australia, and he could be in Canada just to mop up someone else's breakfast. It is mind-boggling to think that angels can travel at such tremendous speeds. Now, if you look at the book of Daniel, chapter 10, 13, you will discover a particular angel who turned up late. He was very late. In fact, he was 21 days late. Daniel's prayer went up, and it seemed that this angel was hindered from coming. He must not have set his notification properly. He maybe didn't get his little calendar organized quite right, but he turned up 21 days late. And it was because he was hindered by the king of Persia. And it wasn't until Michael, the archangel of war, who came to his aid and intervened, that this angel was freed to come and attend to Daniel. Now, angels are very powerful. One angel slayed a whole army of 185,000 people in one night. And what a mysterious, wonderful power was displayed. To an angel, iron bars, iron gates are as nothing whenever they delivered Peter. When the women were concerned about who will roll away the stone for us, well, the angels did it. And they had considerable strength. Now, enough for general information. We come to the one big thing about angels. The one big fact that stands out. And I looked at all of the information we can discover about angels, and the one purpose of an angel, the one cause of an angel, is to minister. And I find that in Hebrews 1:14, that they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister. And they minister to us. And they minister the things of God to our souls and for our good. Now tonight I want to look at the ministry of angels, and particularly with this angel Gabriel that came to Mary on this night that he announced the birth of the Lord Jesus. Firstly, let me speak to you on the priority of their ministry. before they minister to men, before Gabriel came down to speak to Mary, the priority of their ministry is to worship God. In Matthew 18:10, I want you to turn there with me. Matthew 18:10, it says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels..." Now I notice that it's plural, we'll come back to that a little later, that the angels of infants are plural, but that those angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And this is their priority, this is their first work in life, is to worship the Lord God of heaven. Then if you turn to Revelation 5, you find something of the content, the substance of this ministry of angels right in the presence of God. Revelation 5:11. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Can you imagine? GM Place would have nothing into it. BC Place would have nothing here. The largest stadium in the world couldn't contain this great scene that we see here. And here they are, beholding the face of God, saying with a loud voice. These are not sheepish angels, if I may mix up the metaphors a little bit. They are not timid. They are not bashful at pronouncing their love and adoration of the God of heaven. With a loud voice they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." This is their ministry, created to glorify the God of heaven. Then you go over to Revelation 22, verse 8. You will see again this priority that really grips them. It says, "And I, John," Revelation 22, verse 8, "I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." Now, here's a trap, isn't it? To be so taken with angels that we would even consider worshiping them. Maybe confused. Guilty of angelology. Guilty of considering this as a divine person. But you'll notice the rebuke of the angel. "Then saith he to me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." And there you have the priority of angels. Now when we come to Luke chapter 1, to this Gabriel who comes to Mary, we discover that he is a worshiper of God firstly. And it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God." There he was in the presence of God, fulfilling his priority ministry, worshiping the very God of heaven. And he is sent as a messenger. And the message and the ministry of Gabriel is from God to Mary. Isn't this a wonder? And this is something that we should take note of. That our priority, if we're going to be God's messengers, and this is very fitting tonight for those that are going out caroling and witnessing tonight around doors, if you're going to be a fitted messenger of God to witness to men, your first priority is to be a worshiper of God. There would be something wrong in the messenger if you're taking a message to command others to worship and serve God, but you're not doing it yourself. And the church's top priority, above everything else, is to worship God acceptably in spirit and in truth. Now we know the angels do this very reverently. We read in Isaiah 6 of the angels that are before God. And we're told that those angels each have six wings. And with two wings they cover their face. With two wings they cover their feet. And with two wings they fly. Now, when you think of angels coming into the presence of God, covering their eyes and their feet, they are conveying a posture of worship, of reverence, of respect. They are not haughtily or proudly promoting themselves, but their very activity in God's presence is one of homage, waiting, worshiping in the presence of God. What a message to us as we would contemplate coming into the very presence of God Himself. We know, as we learned there in Revelation 5:11, they were singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And they give praise to the Son of God, to the Lord of glory. Now that ought to be the mark of our worship. And as we come into God's presence, we come with not our own agenda, but our interest is in the Lamb, the Son of God, the Redeemer, and the Savior of the world. So that's the priority of the angels' ministry. I come to the manner of their ministry to men. We had in that first point the manner of their ministry more or less to God. What now is the manner of their ministry to men? We can't go through the whole Bible here in one meeting on that point, but I want us to hone in right on Gabriel coming to Mary, and we look at how he conducted himself, how he was ministering to Mary. You will notice in verse 26 that his ministry, the ministry of Gabriel, was personal. It was one-to-one with Mary. And we're told right there in verse 26, sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And here is a one-to-one ministry right from the throne of God down to earth to talk to this young woman. Now, this is something that we need to grasp. There is none too few, none too lowly for us to single out and take them the message of the Lord. We're living in an age of the megachurch when all things have to be big and it's all about crowds and the numbers. But you could be the messenger to that soul whom God would have to hear His word. And as you turn and deliver that message in obedience, you come from God's presence to worship the King. Now, we have in the Bible, of course, angels who came to Hagar. That's the very first mention in the Bible. You have an angel who came to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah, Zacharias, Peter on the night of his deliverance, all coming, ministering to just one. To have angels on your side, well, that's worth more than doctors. It's worth more than all the wisdom, the skill, the counsel of men. I want you to notice the very compassion of Gabriel in verse 30. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." Oh, no doubt the sight and sound of an angel would be a shocking event and very disturbing to a young girl. And so the first word was the word of comfort. And he ministered to her personally, sympathetically, calmly. And this shows us just how far men in the flesh are from eternal realities. Every one of us would be startled at the appearance of an angel. And yet they're all around us. The world is filled with messengers from God. And they come and they minister to us. You'll see also that his ministry was faithful. Personal, also faithful. Think of his name, Gabriel. It means nothing more than man of God. And yet he wasn't a man at all. He was an angel. But he was sent from God. And he was sent from God to minister to men. He was God's messenger. And he was to be faithful to communicate that message. He didn't have his own message. He didn't script the text. He didn't write the announcement. It was given him. And he was to come to Mary faithfully and deliver that. Now, you'll notice, verse 31, that a big part of the message was that this child would be called Jesus. In exact agreement with that message that was given to Joseph in Matthew 1. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And it was also in keeping with Isaiah 7:14. You can see the faithfulness of the message. Consistent. God's word to the angel, to Joseph, now to Mary, through the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures. It's the same word of God that is to be given to Mary by Gabriel. Now the number two in the Bible, of course, is the number of witness. And it's always a very wise thing that when you have a doctrine or some truth that you are seeking to build or stand upon, that you get Scripture to compare with Scripture. That your witness is not just one, but right out of the Bible in various places, and it is the consistent message of God, and you can stand upon that. Now, even angels have to be checked out. You remember the warning of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, that even though an angel come to you preaching any other gospel than that I preach unto you, let him be anathema. An angel? Surely all angels would be true and faithful. Well, what happens if they're an angel of light sent by Satan? What happens if they are not from the Lord? And so we as Christians are to make sure that the message is God's faithful word. And it's to agree with the word of God. It's to agree with God's word. It's also practical. Mary asked the question, how shall this be? And poor Gabriel, he had to put on his white coat as a geneticist. He had to get into all the issues of how cells are formed and how this can come about. See his answer in Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, the bottom line of the explanation, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. This angel obviously was not a doctor. This angel was not going to get into all the issues of how this could be. And of course, no doctor could explain the miracle of the conception in a virgin's womb. And so Mary was informed by the angel. So, the angel's message was personal, faithful, practical, but also powerful. Because the very word that the angel spoke came to pass. And in verse 38, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary believed. It was a powerful message. It made an impact. It was believable. Because it came from God. And Elizabeth also believed. If you look at verse 45, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, angels, their message can be believed. Their message is very powerful. Joseph also believed the word. You remember, while he was going to put Mary away, yet upon the message of the angel, he took Mary to be his wife. And when the angel said, flee down to Egypt, he did. And when the angel returned and said, bring the child back, he who sought the child is dead, he did. And came and lived in Nazareth. The word of an angel, well, you can take it to the bank. The word of an angel, you can trust in it. The word of an angel, You can be sure that it has the power of God and the blessing of God upon it. Because angels are holy, they are faithful messengers, and their word is as good as it's done. And when God sends an angel on an errand, there's always a full execution of the task. Now, we know in our world that some workers are shirkers. There's no such thing as a lazy angel. There's no such thing as an angel that will not do the will of God. Well, maybe there were those who fell and sinned and they were rebellious to God, and they are the fallen angels. They are now demons serving Satan. But all good angels, all elect angels, they obey God and serve Him night and day out of perfect obedience. Ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Never try to bribe an angel. Never try to give a backhand to an angel and say, well, can you change the message for me? It won't work. Angels are holy. They're faithful. And they can't be trusted. Now, we as servants of the Lord have a lot to learn from the angels. They serve God so perfectly and so obediently. And we should have all these same qualifications in our efforts to witness for the Lord. We should be personal. We're not called just to speak to the masses. We're to speak to the one and the two. And let me ask you, have you gone out of your way to take someone on heart, on board in your life, to be a personal witness to that person? You see, there are people that you will reach I can never reach. In many ways, I am dependent upon who comes through the doors of this church and who will take the seat and follow through in a service and give me the opportunity of preaching God's word. But you're going out meeting people all the time, friends, neighbors, acquaintances, family members. And you have an opportunity to be a messenger, God's faithful messenger, one-to-one. And as you do speak, you need to be faithful. You need to speak God's word to them. You need to bring them to the Bible. And when you are seeking to lead a person to the Bible, you're being faithful. You're guiding them in the right direction every time when you call them to consider the Word of God. Also, our ministry should be practical. We are not just theorists. We're just not to get into the technical issues. We're to get down into the ditch. Dirty our hands. Do the stuff of life that reaches real people of where they're at. And that will create some scheduling, some time commitment, some willingness to go back again, follow up. That's been a real servant and a real witness. And then, of course, you pray that your witness is powerful. And we believe that we have a book that has the power of God in it. This word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We believe that this book, it has the power to convert, to enlighten, and to lead people into real fellowship with God. You see, we don't realize as Christians when we've been on the Christian life for a while, and we don't really take it in, just the impact that quoting the scripture has upon the carnal mind. What an impact it has upon the worldly man or woman when we just show them from scripture what God says. That is powerful. And we can pray that God by His Spirit will take that word and back it home. Lastly tonight, I want us to think about the message of their ministry. When Gabriel came to speak to Mary, you will see that his message, well, it really was Jesus. It really was about the Lord Jesus. Verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, we have learned that in heaven, the angels, they sing about the Lord Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. And on earth, the ministry of angels is all about the Lord Jesus. And Gabriel, he just burst out with the news. Verse 31, "Mary, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call his name Jesus." And when he got to that name, Jesus, when you think of all the fullness of meaning behind that very word. Now, for time tonight, look at verse 32, and you will see the theology of Gabriel behind the name Jesus. You'll notice that he just outlines it. He shall be great. Ah, this is a very high view of the Lord Jesus in Gabriel's mind. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. He shall be given the throne of David. He shall reign forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And here is Gabriel speaking to this young woman, Mary. You're going to have a child. You're going to call his name Jesus. But these are the great things you need to realize he will accomplish. What a message and what a focus on the name and the power of the Lord Jesus. There's no Unitarianism here. There's no doubt about the deity, the Godhood, the eternal nature of this child that she is to bear. He has a high view of the Lord Jesus. Now, note also to the angels in verse 31 that he is Jesus. Angels could use the name Jesus. I shall call his name Jesus. Now, in verse 46, Mary referred to him as Lord. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, the angels could use that name. They could call him Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. They could say that. They could call him Lord. And then verse 47, you'll notice Mary's word again. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." The angels could never say that, because the Lord Jesus did not become an angel. He did not take the form of an angel. He did not die for an angel. There is no such thing as a saved angel, a redeemed angel. They are ministering spirits to minister to the heirs of salvation, Christians, believers on the Lord Jesus, who are redeemed, who call Jesus their Savior. But an angel cannot give his personal testimony of his personal Lord and Savior. They have never, ever been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And angels, therefore, cannot preach the gospel. That is our work. That's the task that God has given to fellow men. Now, can you grasp the tremendous dignity that God has given to mankind by bypassing angels and sending his Son to human form to live and die in the sinner's place? God has added a dignity to the human race that angels never have and never will have. And so angels minister to us. They serve us. And they aid us in the work that we're about. And we can pray for God to send his angels to guard us, watch over us. Psalm 91 talks about the angels keeping us from pestilence and dangers of various kinds. Now, I noted earlier on that when it talked about the angels of those little children, that those angels look into the face of God, that the angels there is plural. It's the same in Psalm 91. And everywhere it talks about the guardian or the protection work of angels, it's always plural. It leads me to understand that we don't have a personal angel guarding us. We don't have an individual angel that you might say is Ian's angel. That one that God made to be my buddy to watch over me. But the angels are in the plural. And maybe it's because one angel would not be enough. Maybe it's because there are times when there are dangers from the attacks of all the forces of hell, of all the demons and the powers of darkness that are unleashed against the child of God, that it takes a heavenly host of angels to protect the Lord's children and to guard the cause of the gospel. But they are the servants of God who go forth ministering to
the saints.
We should take hope tonight that God has not left us defenseless. And while we live in a very dangerous world, a world where sin abounds and Satan's work is vicious against every image of Christ in the world, that God has an army, an invincible army, an army that will not be defeated. And he has messengers that will support and protect God's people in every situation. So don't be afraid to pray that God will send his angels to watch over you and over the cause of the Lord Jesus. And don't be afraid that those angels will detract from the worship of the Lord Jesus, because that angel rebuked John and said, "Worship God, not me. I am your fellow servant," he said. "Worship God." Let us pray that God will make us faithful messengers, take our cue, and be strengthened by all the activity of heaven in our service for the Lord.